want to begin with asking you a question. Who here has looked for something in a cupboard, both low and high, and could not find it? Then a day or two later, you're looking for something else, and oh, there it is, right where you thought it was. Bill and I were both looking through the cupboards because we thought we had flour, and I'm much shorter, so I walked over to the cupboard, and I stood on my tippy toes, and I pushed the items to the left and to the right, and I couldn't see it, so I said, Bill, you know, come here, and he walked out, and he looked, and no, he couldn't find it either, so I went up to Sobeys, and I bought the flour, and then I came back, and several days later, I pulled down the icing sugar, and I saw the yellow of the Robin Hood bag of flour. But I could not see it standing on my tippy toes. And I couldn't see it until the circumstances changed and I was standing 3 feet away and needed a different perspective. People see things in different ways. From Bill's height, you can see the top of the refrigerator, but I need a stepping stool. He is farsighted and I am nearsighted, so he can see the road signs long before I do. And we see things differently because of our talents, our eyesight, and our height. I titled this sermon Assessing the Value because first thoughts were of the lost sheep. And how much do we value the lost? So let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, I want to thank you once again for the opportunity to share this message. I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide the words that are being said and that everyone can get a blessing from today's message. Amen. We have all heard the song, I Just Want to Be a Sheep. I don't want to be a Pharisee. It's cute, right? What if I substituted the words, though? I don't want to be a prodigal son's brother. I don't want to be a Judas, or I don't want to be the rich young ruler. What thoughts come to your mind? I am enjoying this quarter Sabbath school lesson, how the author is drawing the same similar text throughout the Bible, providing valuable insight between the Old and the New Testament. I started looking into that more closely, taking it one story at a time from the writings of the different authors at different stages of history. Perspective is extremely important when reading and when writing a story. The ability to actively listen is a gift. I remember being in math class and just not able to understand a formula, no matter how many times the teacher explained it to me. Then one day, the teacher left the room, another student came over, she sat down next to me and took me through the steps, and light bulb. It was easy, actually, but I needed it explained to me in a different way. It is also true that we learn best by showing others. There were three other mature mom students with me at the College of the North Atlantic, one of which had never touched a computer before. And by teaching her, we grasped so much more out of the computer courses. God knew that we all work that way, and he uses our differences to reach others. Let me ask you, if you were asked today to teach a Sabbath school lesson, would it not be from your own perspective? Would it matter who you were planning to speak to? Of course, you would choose different words if you were teaching 10 to 16-year-olds versus a full class of pastors. That is also true in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written by different men, all accounting the life of Christ, yet there are different stories. A recent Sabbath school lesson spoke about Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler. Let's look at the difference in interpretation. We see that the rich young ruler went to Jesus and asked him what he should do to inherit eternal life. Jesus begins listing the commandments. It is a warning to us all about putting possessions before God. I'm going to read in the New International Version in the book of Luke 18:18-27. Did you know that Luke was a doctor who wrote the book of Luke from researching, investigating, and recording reports from eyewitnesses? Not from his own personal experience. Let us see how that compares to Matthew and Mark, who were there. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother." And he says, "All these things I've kept since I was a boy." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." In comparison, Luke and Matthew state the man came to Jesus, but Mark has the man running up to him and falling on his knees. Luke and Mark, in verse 18 and 19, list the commandments as not committing adultery, murder, steal, false testimony, honor your father and mother. Mark adds, "You shall not defraud." Matthew adds, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Luke and Matthew say that Jesus told him to sell all he has, give it to the poor, and come follow him. Mark says in verse 21 that Jesus looked on him and loved him. Mark then says his face fell and he went away sad. The other two just state that he went away sad. Who can be saved? Luke states what is impossible with man is possible with God. Matthew in verse 26, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mark in verse 27, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. There are slight differences between Luke and Matthew, but Mark is more detailed, remembering that Luke investigated and gave great detail, but Mark had that personal relationship with Jesus, and he had the experience to draw on. Jesus loved the rich young ruler in Mark's version. He was valued even though he put his possessions before God. A grieved young man realized no amount of money or good deeds would make him worthy for the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:21 and Luke 12:34 clearly state, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In the Bible, you will find two of these books account for the lost sheep, Matthew and Luke. We think about the man Matthew. Matthew was also called Levi. He was a tax collector that gave up everything he owned to become one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. Matthew, because of his background in tax and numbers, I can relate to that, wrote his stories in a more orderly and very factual way. And we see that in The Rich Young Ruler. So, it begins with a reminder, "Do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Thank you for Christopher for reading the Bible verse. Luke paints the picture of tax collectors and sinners gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers are muttering that Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. Both Matthew and Luke continue with a man having 100 sheep and one is lost. Would he not leave the 99 to find that one? Matthew says that if he finds it, he is happier about the one sheep than the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Luke says he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And every time Xenia turns off her screen, we see the picture of Jesus with the sheep around the shoulders. He puts it on his shoulders and he calls friends and neighbors together to rejoice. Who are the little ones spoken about in Matthew? Are they the same as the sinners and tax collectors in Luke? Matthew is telling us not to despise. The angels rejoice when each sinner returns home. Did you know that repetition in the Bible is to make sure we understand the importance of the lesson? And if it's said three times, it's extremely important. So we have the sheep. Now the lesson is brought to us again in another story. The parable of the lost coin. Picture a woman. She has 10 coins and loses one. In today's terms, it would be like having $1,000 and losing 100. We picture the woman realizing that her coin is missing. A typical house at that time had a few small slits for windows or none at all. There was little light and the oil for the lamp was not cheap, so it was saved for the nighttime. She begins searching the house, and when she finds the coin, she rejoices and calls her neighbors to celebrate. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Lesson one, the lost sheep. Lesson two, the lost coin. Lesson three, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided the property between them. Between who? Between him and his brother. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and squandered the wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? Here I am. I'm starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He filled with what? Filled with compassion. For him, he ran to his son, he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father's like, shh. The father says, servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called up to the servants and asked him, what's going on? Your brother has come, he replied. Your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. But the older brother became angry. He refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, he said. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, said father, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead again. And now he's alive. Dead and now he's alive again. And once again we read, he was lost and now is found. Lesson three, complete. I want to go back to Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler and how they both sought Jesus. The rich young ruler, like the older brother, kept the commandments, but he walked away sad when he had to give up his earthly possessions and rejected eternal life. He was lost and he was unwilling to be found. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, was lost, but he was willing to be found. In fact, he climbed up in the tree, right? The parables speak of lost souls like Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler, but to be found, you join Jesus and share, not continue to walk away. It is possible for us to be like that rich young ruler. We can check all the boxes, go to church, check, pay tithes and offerings, check, check. The older brother of the prodigal son, he checked all the boxes, right? I've done everything. I've worked for you all my whole life. But what's wrong? What was his heart like? Did he feel that his brother deserved the celebration? Did he run to his brother and throw his arms around him and kiss him? Did he have compassion? The Bible warns us that people who have cast out demons will not be recognized at the end. They checked the box. They followed the script. The relationship just wasn't there. We can tell all the stories, just like Luke, but there was a difference between Mark's version and Luke's version, wasn't there? The personal experience. All three parables in Luke are about restoring lost relationships, meeting the people where they are and welcoming them back with open arms, not reminding them of what they just did. We are called now to reach the people in our community and to bring them home. We need to shift the perspective from getting ourselves to heaven to getting the lost sheep to heaven. Psalms 146, verse 9. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. How? Matthew 25, 35 to 40 is very clear. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you do it to me. Have you ever noticed that when you are feeling melancholy or worried about yourself, the best way to feel better is to help others? When we concentrate on helping others, we have a better relationship with Jesus, we have a better relationship with the person and with our church. Would that not also draw others to Christ? We are called in Matthew 18, 14, in the same way your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Don't be the prodigal son's older brother and check all the boxes but lack compassion and forgiveness. Don't be the rich young ruler and check all of the boxes but not be willing to share with the poor. Our Father in heaven is telling us that we are to save his people. He said it 3 times. Keep working on the community gardens. Keep the women's groups and dart nights in Lethbridge and Cottrell's Cove. Help Trudy, Diane, and Anna fill that pantry. Pray for our NEDLI programs, our AA meetings. Encourage the homeschool co-op and upcoming summer programs at Woody Acres and the Woody Acres Work Bee. People will notice your love for Jesus and be drawn to be part of your fellowship because all of these things are meeting the needs of the people, building the relations in our communities, and doing what the Lord has called us to do. The easiest way to learn is through song. So I leave you with this song. Do you know, Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Jesus calls upon you to spread the gospel news. So walk it and talk it and teach it and preach it and live it and give it and know it and show it, a sermon in shoes. Thank you for listening. Oh, Lord, we don't know what you have planned for us, but as times, every day is a new blessing and a new challenge. So we thank you for allowing us to grow in your mercy and grace. I want to leave today, Lord, with a reminder for the week. Psalms 25, verses 4 to 7. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Make them known to me. Teach me to live according to your truth, for you are my God who saves me. I always trust in you. Remember, O Lord, your kindness and constant love, which you have shown from long ago. Forgive the sins and errors of my youth. In your constant love and goodness, remember me, Lord. Amen.